Well, also in the news this week, scientists have discovered what happens when the brain gets its first ever whiff of nicotine. By studying nerve activity in the brains of rats which have been exposed to nicotine for the very first time, Professor Daniel McGee at the University of Chicago has found that the drug triggers changes in the brain's circuitry, which makes people much more likely to then get hooked.
The dopamine system is this reward pathway. The effect of addictive drugs on behavior is dependent upon a change in dopamine signaling. And so that's been a focus for our work and many other groups. And we know that nicotine activates a specific type of receptor, a protein that's on the surface of many different neurons. And these receptors are excitatory. They depolarize the cell. They cause it to fire more. More electrical activity is happening as a result of that receptor activation. And we know that that's the first step in the process. And what our most recent study has shown is that this actually initiates a whole cascade of events. One of the things that happens is that the inputs that normally excite these dopamine cells become stronger. Those synaptic connections, the points of communication between cells, are stronger after nicotine exposure.
So are you saying then that the nicotine comes in, it stimulates some dopamine-producing nerve cells to make more dopamine, which the brain experiences as a pleasurable experience, and at the same time, the cells that make that dopamine, which are connected to by other nerve cells, begin in future to respond more strongly to those connections than they would have done before?
That's a nice description of what our data and others have shown, yes, that the connections are stronger. It's something that persists for days. And what we're looking at are the steps that lead to that change. So even after the nicotine is gone, these connections remain strong for between 5 and 10 days after exposure. And just to emphasize, that's a change that's happening to an animal that's not seen the drug before, and it's in response to one exposure.
And when the person has had that change happen in their brain or in the animal, whatever the context is, What then makes the person keep reaching for the cigarette packet? Because if their cells are now producing more dopamine because the connections to them are stronger, the cells are getting more excitable than they were before, why carry on smoking?
Yeah, it's a great question and one that we would love to have the complete answer to. But the transition from occasional use or a single exposure to the full-blown addicted smoker is a long and complex process that we really don't understand. We know that there are huge adaptations happening in the areas that we're looking at, but also it's very likely that other brain areas begin to play critical roles. In adolescents who are experimenting with smoking, they will quite often sample cigarettes at a very low rate, like once a month, once every 2 weeks, once every week. One theory that I like a lot is the idea that the duration of the change in this increase in excitation in the pathway is contributing to that process and establishes a framework for associating the tobacco and nicotine with pleasure. And then that basically sets the stage for the progression to full-blown addiction, which is going to be involving this process, but almost certainly many other things that we still don't understand.
Does it transfer to other drugs? Because if you rewire this circuitry, which makes your brain much more prone to getting hooked on things, and then another drug comes along, does the tobacco pre-priming, the nicotine changes, mean that then some cocaine is much easier to get hooked on than it would do without this happening?
It's certainly a possibility, and that, again, is beyond the scope of what we're looking at right now, but it does fit with the basic idea that co-use of a variety of different substances is quite common. So the idea that the exposure to one drug is modifying or enhancing the rewarding effects of another drug makes perfect sense to me, in as far as I understand the system, that this would be one of the ways in which that could happen.
I think 75% of people who smoke say that they would prefer not to. That's the intended quit rate. the success rate, obviously another matter. What about trying to use this information to help people to quit or to not get hooked in the first place?
I do think that this adds to the public health message that I think is being broadcast quite effectively in many parts of the world, that exposure to tobacco products and nicotine is potentially addictive, and it is long-term exposure has huge negative health consequences, and there's just no argument there. The idea that even occasional and casual use of tobacco products could be inducing persistent effects on those parts of the brain that we know are important for reward and addiction, that totally fits with that. As far as the potential for treatment of the full-blown smoker who is trying to quit, we certainly hope that identifying steps in the process in terms of cellular events, molecular events that are happening inside neurons, understanding that better may certainly lead to the identification of new drugs that could increase the abysmal quit rate that is out there. I do think that the most important message is that there are changes happening with the very earliest exposures, and that is part of the progression.
Well, they say it takes only one cigarette to get you hooked, and that evidence looks like it's quite compelling, doesn't it? That's Daniel McGee, who's from the University of Chicago. He published that work this week in the Journal of Neuroscience. Diana.